You're listening to Digital Creator. My name is Dylan Schmidt. Taking a break after just last week, how I shared how much I'm loving this format, I want to cover one wide topic in today's episode. You might be familiar with the person I'm going to be talking about, Alex Hormozi. If you don't know Alex Hormozi, I'll read his quick little bio here. He is a first-generation Iranian-American entrepreneur, investor, and philanthropist. Looks like he created Gym Launch in 2015. A company that offers marketing and business coaching to gym operators. And because this is an audio-only format podcast here, I can't supplement some images, but you have likely seen him somewhere on social media. He is also known for wearing like a nose strip, like those Breathe Right nose strips in his videos. And he puts out a lot of content. There has been times where he shared about how he spends like so many thousands of dollars every month on his content production. He's pretty much everywhere, TikTok, podcasts, YouTube, all the social media. He's written two books that have gotten five-star reviews consistently on Amazon, $100 million offers, and $100 million leads. And he's a bit of a polarizing figure, naturally. He, you know, wears tank tops. He's got big muscles. You know, he's always in the gym. He's kind of got this like alpha presence. When I was just looking up, and you know, I don't even use the word alpha often, but just someone that comes to mind is someone like him of this like alpha mentality. I don't know. Anyways, he is polarizing. I get that. And regardless of the fact if you like love him or hate him, there's so much interesting takeaways we can have when we look at his marketing, whether it's his books. I've talked about him on this podcast too before, but if we look at his books, his production, he puts out so much content. He invests so much into it. Just a byproduct of that is getting so much data that we can learn from. And I think it's useful. And I want to break down something that he sent in an email, which linked to a YouTube video that I thought was interesting. And so that's what I want to cover in this episode, because he shared how he's shifting up his content strategy. And that's what it talked about in this email. And I think there's some cool distinctions here. That's why I wanted to share it with you. So he writes this super short email that says the subject line is findings from 35,000 posts over 3 years in 45 minutes. And he is such a brilliant marketer hitting all of the buttons there, right? 35,000 posts over 3 years in 45 minutes. Like, come on, that's pretty great. And in the email, he talks about how he made a YouTube video and it covers six content strategies he's doubling down on after reviewing his 35,000 pieces of content. He mentions too in the email, which I thought was interesting and actually the part that I think made me click, which is also he says, I'm only making business content for business owner for the foreseeable future. No more wide audience stuff. No more whiz bang ADD production, just tactical business stuff. I prefer it. You prefer it. We all prefer it. That's kind of what caught my eye because I had seen that, you know, through his, I'll call them content experiments. We all do them. His content experiments, he was doing very like wide things, like just off the cuff stuff. He's just out and about. He's getting a haircut. He's talking about, could be talking about anything. Could be talking about Star Wars. Could be talking about dating when he was younger. And I am not that much of a consumer, actually, despite how much I know about him or seem to know about him. I don't follow him on social media. I'm on his email list. That's how I saw this email, but I don't subscribe to him on YouTube. Still, I come across so much of his content, and most people I talk with, actually, when it gets to like a deeper interest in content strategy from me, they usually reference Alex Hormozi in some way. It comes up time and time again, from CEOs to people that are ready to like start really investing in their content production. It's usually like this North Star they place of Alex Hormozi, and I just find it interesting. I don't really feel like I have to follow him to get his content, which is interesting. I just check in here and there. He puts out so much content that I don't really miss stuff. And he sends this email and I'm like, okay, I kind of get it. I did notice though, before we hop into what he like covers in this video, which I kind of want to, this is almost like a reaction style podcast to it. So much to unpack here. First up, he's putting out so much content. When we think of strategy, we have to be really mindful of the strategy we incorporate into our content, because a man like Alex Hormozi, he has a whole team. He has a whole system. He is not just like filming off the cuff stuff. Everything is very thoughtfully produced. He has an editor who can spend hours and hours refining a short form piece of content that is engineered in a specific way to get a specific result. And he doesn't just have one of those editors, he has multiple of them. So I just want to be mindful too of when we think of strategy. One, we're going to see a lot of people implement Alex Hormozi's strategy that he lays out in his video over the next 6 months to a year, because everybody loves to do what Alex Hormozi says that he's doing, because he is an influential figure in the marketing and digital business space. I think that's a super dangerous thing, which is probably a topic for another day. But trying to do what Alex Hormozi is doing or says he's going to do is absolutely not realistic. That's like you want to hit the gym and you're going to do like a bodybuilder routine. That's not level one stuff, right? You have way more support if you're a bodybuilder, right? You have way more experience. Like any strategy, it sounds awesome. It's this flashy, appealing thing that like, oh, well, maybe I'll just start doing this. And you shift your whole strategy. And next thing you know, over the course of the last 12 months, you've shifted your strategy so many times that you don't know what worked. You don't know what you should do next. And you're more lost than when you started out. So I just want to preface that. And when we hear Alex Hormozi in the subject line say his findings from 35,000 posts over 3 years and 45 minutes, that is not your posts, right? He has his own unique agenda that he doesn't make explicit with his audience. He doesn't say, here's exactly what I'm going to be doing. He tells you just enough. Social media, we feel like we grasp someone's true intentions of what they're sharing, but we don't know. We just don't know. And we feel like we know, and we could get so much value that we're almost hypnotized in a way, thinking like, that's exactly what we should be doing too, because if he's successful and he's doing it, well, then why the heck would I not do what the successful person is doing? That is an absolute trap. And it's a road to burnout and frustration and confusion and wasting time and money. It's like, take what I'm saying with a grain of salt, take what he's saying with a grain of salt, trust, but verify. Run your own tests and have your own findings. It would be awesome to see your own posts of like, what findings have you found over the last 3 years from 35,000 posts or 1,000 posts or even just 20 posts? You know, looking at your own data is important. Regardless, it is a lot of data from Hormozi, 35,000 posts, that it's at least worth it to take a look at here. And so let me bring up my notes here. So like I mentioned, Hormozi has talked quite a few times about how many thousands of dollars he spends on his content creation strategy. And he's seen significant growth across all of the channels. He has millions upon millions of followers. And I'm actually friends with the guy who produces his podcast. I don't know if I'm allowed to say particularly, so I'll leave it a little vague, but he's been a guest on this podcast. And if I had his permission, I would just share, oh, that's who it is. But I don't think I don't know, NDAs, all that stuff, whatever. Anyways, Alex Hormozi has a huge following, simple as that. And like I mentioned about his content experiments, he was going a bit wider, meaning he wasn't trying to attract just one specific person, right? He was sharing about dating. He shared about like chewing tobacco, steroids, business strategy, all these different things. And he was just casting a wide net. But in his video, he talks about how he's transitioning from that entertainment-focused content to more educational-focused content, targeting specifically business owners, which is what we didn't cover, is how Hormozi makes his money is in like two buckets from what I know. Number one is his company acquisition.com. I think they partner with companies that are doing over 3 or 5 or 10 million, whatever, millions of dollars per year in revenue. They partner with them to help them scale to 100 million or whatever. He helps companies that have already got some footing scale to the next level. And then he also is now a large investor in School, which is S-K-O-O-L, not your regular school spelling. And that's an online community, kind of like Kajabi or Circle, maybe like even Teachable. School's a platform for people wanting to build and monetize online communities. And so that's like his financial agenda, if you will. So it makes a lot of sense that he wants to transition from entertainment-focused content to educational content, because he's going to see a ROI on that content that he produces for acquisition and for School. So he talks about these like six pillars, if you will, or the six key points. So that first one was shifting from edutainment, which is educational entertainment, to education. Hormozi talks about how not all views are created equal, and that entertainment content just doesn't effectively convert into customers or dedicated followers. And he advocates that people in the same kind of realm as him should focus on educational content that provides value to a specific target audience. In his example, it's business owners. You know, business owners identify, especially of someone who would start like an online paid community, because that's like stage one, right? If you're going to ever make it to his acquisition.com phase of like having a $1 million business, it absolutely makes sense to start with an online community. You just get a taste, get familiar with him. So makes sense. The large amount of money he's spending on content, if it's not backed up by translating into business of any kind, then like, what's the point, right? And I would imagine at a certain point, you know, I'm not behind the scenes with him, but I would imagine at a certain point, he's like, what's the point? What's the point of all these followers? He's not like stepping out into some deeper celebrity. He's already, I'm sure, recognized everywhere he goes. So there's really no goal other than like grow the business, right? And this might have been part of his plan all along, is start really wide and then go more narrow. Next, Hormozi talks about shifting from a for us, for you approach, which is like content should be tailored to the target audience's needs and preferences. This includes clear and direct packaging and introductions. So having crystal clear titles, thumbnails, and intros, no clickbait. Suggest a proof, promise, plan framework for introductions. So showing your proof, making a promise, and then presenting a plan. And then emphasizing on meat over razzle dazzle. A lot of marketers will talk about sell the sizzle, not the steak, meaning, you know, you got to hype up the thing you're doing. But one of the things that Hormozi does well, and what I find so many people are like almost religious, like he's a religious figure in some of these, like people will defend him so hard. And I'm not on a Hormozi like love train or hate train. I'm just studying him as a figure. You know, I don't have anything. I think his books are great. I think he's got so much good stuff. And is studying him almost like a professor, if you will. I think that's fascinating. And I think that's something that Hormozi has already done well, is provided meat over the whole razzle dazzle. Hormozi mentions providing clear language and valuable information over excessive production and visual effects. If you're in the business niche or more like kind of the educational space, might be really like pleasing to your ears. Like spend less time on trying to make it Mr. Beast and just focus on the meat of what you're saying. And that leads to the next thing he talks about, which is investing in pre-production research. Thorough research leads to higher quality content and reduced post-production editing time. That's something I've also seen time and time again in my own content. And I think that's part of the reason why for some of my own stuff, the things that are the easiest and have the less friction to post sometimes absolutely do the best. And sometimes the things that do the worst are things that I try to like formulate and try to just make them come to life, versus there's just good meat in what I'm saying and it's relevant to the audience at hand. That's all pre-production research. That's also stuff that's hard to quantify. That's the thoughts you have when you're on a walk, or you're in the shower, or you're driving, or you have a conversation with a friend, or on a podcast interview. Next, Hormozi talks about narrowing the focus. So again, instead of covering a wide range of topics, he's going to just be focusing on choosing to specialize in business, business models, business leverage, and selling within a business context. He talks about how this will attract a more relevant audience and deeper engagement. 100% see that being the case. It's also interesting too, when you kind of go that razzle-dazzle route, I've found is it doesn't, you know, convert to followers or business, but you're also getting someone in a state that you might not want to evolve the relationship with them in that state. What I mean is, if you are hyping someone up in your social media video, but the rest of your journey, whether that's like a program that you sell or it's your podcast or wherever else, is not like that, it's this mismatch and they're probably just going to tune out, because how you met them differs than how they actually are, right? You're not starting the relationship, if you will, on a good foot. Next, Hormozi talks about views to revenue. So shifting the focus from a mere view count to ad revenue is a key metric, allowing for a better assessment of content quality and audience alignment. Higher ad revenue will indicate a higher concentration of the desired target audience. So for you, if you don't heavily invest in some paid media strategy, which a lot of people I talk with are just kind of dabbling in that, attributing what you're producing to some type of dollar metric, if you will. One of the ways that that looks like for me, for example, today's the first, this episode is going out on the second. At the beginning of every month, I take a look back, what I spent on the business, what I made in the business, what performed best, just simple high-level analytics to give me an indicator of which direction I need to be going. And similar thing here too, right? Like, how is what you're producing translating to revenue? Super important to know. In the beginning, it might not necessarily be as important because just producing, like you're just getting the data, right? Imagine Hormozy in this example, you know, he's talking about 35,000 pieces of content that he's studying over the last 3 years. If you were just starting, you have, say, 100 pieces of content, that's not going to give you much data to work with. And you're really not going to be able to attribute too much because there'll be shifts in your own content style, in the own quality that you're producing to, you know, the money you're making. So it's likely just costing you in the beginning. But over time, as you've been going for a while, it's crucial, like absolutely necessary to be able to attribute how much money you're making as a result of what activity you're doing. Super crucial. Next, Hormozy talks about going from short form content to long form content. He's prioritizing long form content that delivers in-depth value and driving conversions. Conversions in his case are like book sales, opt-ins, applications, things like that. Now, long form content, in my mind, podcasts, like longer podcasts, longer YouTube videos, also like sometimes longer blog posts that are engaging, longer LinkedIn posts, things that take at least a few minutes to consume, right? When we talk about converting like short form, which you know me, I'm like in this world, my company Content Clips, we deal heavily in the short form and the long form. I definitely don't see it as an either or. I definitely see it as an and, short form and long form content. Short form is great for just like an introduction, but it definitely does not provide the depth that you need to build a deeper relationship with people. It's great, like quick little candy. It's almost like a notification, if you will. One, that this person exists, that you're watching the short form content from, like just a little pop-up, even if you just see their face. So they're kind of top of mind. But how much can you really explain in 100 words, 200 words, 250 words in 30 seconds? And then to do that consistently, there's so much great stuff about it, but it is not a rich diet, if you will. It's a little bit too malnourished if that's the only thing you're trying to lean into. Last thing that Hormozy talks about, which we'll talk about here in this episode, is assume nothing. I love this. He says content should be accessible and understandable to newcomers. This includes introducing yourself, explaining references, and avoiding inside jokes. You've probably heard me talk about how a lot of first-time podcast listeners don't come back to listen to another podcast episode. And there's a variety of reasons of why that happens. It could be, like Hormozy mentions, inside jokes or references that you don't understand. It's just not inviting or giving any reason for the person to come back for another listen. There's nothing like sticky about it. And creating a welcoming experience for the listener or viewer is crucial to having them coming back, right? I remember listening, actually, it's happened a couple times. I've listened to popular podcasts that, you know, just because they're popular doesn't mean that they're implementing best practices or anything that, it, again, will work for you. But I'm so confused at who's talking, what are they talking about? I thought this was a true crime podcast and they're talking about celebrity stuff that has nothing to do with, you know, true crime, if you will. And so I think we can all just be mindful of assuming nothing for our audience and just making it really welcoming. So last thing, and this is kind of just to wrap things up with a bow, is all of the things that Hormozy talks about may or may not apply to what you're doing, but there is one thing that he is talking about that 100% applies to you and your own content strategy, and that is taking action, experimenting, and focusing on what's working best for your target audience and for your goals. I hope you found this kind of breakdown of what Hormozy is talking about interesting. couldn't bring myself to talk about anything else on today's episode because there's a lot of good stuff in what he shares. That's all I got for you today. I'll catch you in the next one.